Imagine Simon Peter's arrival at home in the evening as the sun sets, and he begins describing his day to his wife. "By the way, honey, I quit my job." "You did what? What are you going to do? What do you mean you quit your job?" "Well, me and Andy met this guy who invited us to come and go with him. He talks about how close we are to God's kingdom if and when we change the way we think about things. He talked about how God is here and now and how we just don't get it. We're looking for God in one place and one way, and it turns out God is showing up all over the place in ways we never even considered or thought about." Now you can imagine Peter's wife was having none of this. "You have fished all your life," can't you hear her saying? "Your grandpa, your pa, they were fishermen. What is it you expect to do? How will we live? What about the kids?" Peter hears the anxiety in her voice and says, "I just got to tell you about this guy that we met. His name is Jesus, and he's from Nazareth, and he's different. I don't know how, he just is. He was walking along the beach when he caught my eye, and he called out to me. He, Andy, and I spoke together for a little while, and he invited us, and John and James too, to just hang out with him. He said he would make us fish for people." Imagine that. Fish for people. What does that even mean? "I don't know, but I'm tired of doing the same old thing and getting the same old results. And sometimes I just feel like I'm made for more. And now I don't know. I've been wondering, is this all there is? I mean, fishing? Is this all there is to my life?" And then can't you hear Peter saying quietly, "There must be something more. I got to take a chance that there's something more to being me." Now you can also imagine how the rest of Peter's evening went into the night. And maybe you've had a similar kind of conversation with your mate or your partner or parent or maybe even a sibling. You have this inkling that there's more to you and who you are, to what you are to do or to be doing. And the one you tell this to, though, is afraid for you. And you're scared too. What will others say? What will they think? What if this other thing doesn't work out? What if you fail? You get the picture. The scriptures tells us that for both Peter and Andrew and James and John, immediacy was preeminent in their response to Jesus' invitation to be with them. They made haste, they dropped everything, and they walked into an unknown future. They took a chance. Today I want to talk about what it takes to walk into an unknown future and to take a chance. They responded at great risk to their current orientations of life, how they thought life worked out, how they thought life was supposed to be, and they took a chance. And y'all, at the end of the day, that's what faith is. Faith isn't believing stuff. Faith is having the courage to take a risk, to move out into the unknown, trusting that there is a mystery there already, and that that mystery cares about you, I, us. At the end of the day, repentance is nothing more than taking on beginner's mind. At every step of our journey, truly risking to let go of what we think we know, who we think we are, for our true selves, our true natures, but why we're even here. Our Lord's message was a continuation of his cousin John's after John was imprisoned. And this is the way the late Eugene Peterson spoke it. Change your life, Jesus said. Change the way you even think about life. God is life. Here and now, God is here, says the message. One commentator puts it this way: get a new orientation for the way you live, for the way you think, for the way you are, and then act on it. The late Father Thomas Keating used to say, what is orienting you towards happiness? And that tells you where your life really is. Now, we take chances all the time, y'all, for big and small things. We buy lottery tickets. We get married. We risk business ventures, all hoping and believing in a successful future. But here's the deal. What do we risk for our real life? Our life as a spiritual being living a physical existence. All of these things are temporal. Lottery tickets, there'll come a point where there's no lottery tickets. Marriages, even the most successful business ventures will no longer exist. Yes, a lot of stuff that we hold on to is going the way of the dust. And that's just the reality of human life on planet Earth. So why is it that we have such a fear of letting go and letting God be God when somehow we know there is more and that we are meant for more, for something greater? You know why war is so abhorrent to us, and yet we continue to wage war, even within ourselves or with others? Because there's two of us. There's a part of us that knows that we are meant for something greater. That war, that conflict, that kind of crap is basically obsolete. But we know this at one level, at an subconscious level. And then there's this part of us that says, well, if you step on my toes, I'm going to step back on yours. And it's when we can let go of that way of being and trust God to act through us, we can take a risk, take a chance, that God can begin to move and act in the world. I thought about, as I was preparing this word, what if, and this is just a question, this is one of my experiments, Ray, what if we're the ones holding up Christ's coming? We all talk about we're waiting for Christ to come. What if we're holding it up? What if we're holding up Christ's coming because of the way we think? We're acting out of beliefs, no matter what we say. We're acting, our actual actions speak for what we truly believe. And as a world, we're acting out of something that isn't real, that will go away. So what if we are preventing the return of Christ? Because Christ is in us already. Christ is the essence of who we are. It's the image of God already in us. And we can't let it out. We can't realize it yet for all kinds of reasons. And if any of us, if you ever really want to know, have a crisis, a real catastrophic crisis happen, and you begin to realize that, oh, there's a whole other part of me. That's just my what if, though. For all of us, the question is, what am I resisting? We worship God, but do we really love God? And do we love God enough to believe that God has our best interests at heart? And that we can let go of whatever judgment, we can see something and not judge it? Just let it be what it is. And that out of that, we can co-create with God something new and different. Maybe it's just possible that our image of God is just too small. I love this scripture from Jesus when he's talking to the disciples in Luke, and he says about worrying about stuff. And he says, your Father knows what you need. Put God first, and these things will be yours as well. Don't be afraid. Your Heavenly Father wants to give you his kingdom. It's exciting to know that God wants us to live in peace, to be in joy and justice, in generosity of spirit and abundance. God wants that for us, for all of us, all the time. But we live thinking that, well, if you're wealthy, I can't be wealthy. And for me to be wealthy, you can't be wealthy. I mean, we live with all kinds of rankings, hierarchies that don't exist in the kingdom. Think about it. We are so loved. We are so loved, created by love, for love, and in love, for love's sake. As disciples, our pilgrimage in life is to be changed, to be transformed. And we do this when we let go and let God. The word of the Lord through St. John's first letter reads, God is love. And when we take up permanent residence in a life of love, we live in God and God lives in us. Our standing in the world is identical to Christ's. And there is no room in love for fear, because well-formed love banishes fear. When God invites us to risk something big for something good, we are being invited to repent, to change our lives, because at the end of the day, love is all there is, and it's waiting for us. We will have to change our viewpoints and our perceptions of what we think, because as I've said over and over again from this very pulpit, you are not your thoughts. There is a consciousness, there is a you behind your thinking. And for those of us who meditate, who do centering, who center, who sit and are still, as the intro was so beautiful this morning, thank you. When we're still, we know God at a deep place that's beyond our thinking. God is all there is, and God chooses to express itself through all of creation, whether it's a sunrise or sunset or lakes or streams or that snow or us, you and me. So when we surrender and risk, we risk for God to allow God to step in. I told the 8 o'clock group this morning, people asked me, why are you going to Baltimore? I knew I was leaving, relocating. The Spirit had told me that. I knew that. But I thought I was going to Denver. I thought I was going that way and I came this way, because that's where I was led. But you have to let go of stuff. There's a point where we're holding on to things that are not worthy of us. When Jesus is talking in John, before he leaves the earth, he says, these things that I'm doing, greater things that I'm doing, you will do, because I'm going away. And we're still waiting for those greater things, some of us, not all of us, because there are people doing greater things. There are people doing, walking on water. There are people who understand and know their divine nature, that they are both and, not an either or. Time is up. The time that's spoken about in the gospel is not chronos. It's not the watch time. It has nothing to do with your age. It's about God's time. It's kairos. God is here now. Let go and take a chance on that mystery that is greater than we could ever imagine to come in and to use us. Our country, our community, our world needs us to let go and to let God. It needs us to be the salt and light. We have to ask ourselves, am I shining my light? Am I offering the flavor of saltiness? And as a community, we ask ourselves, is Redeemer shining her light? Is she offering the saltiness of her flavor to those outside of her walls? Are we offering the flavor of love? God's message for us is that God loves us. No matter where we are and what we're doing, we will always be loved. And God sees something greater in each one of us. The question is, can we stand to see that greatness in ourselves? My prayer is that God helps us to see just how absolutely star-like we truly are. May it be so. Amen.